Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. Another crazy week. Every week seems to be crazy, and some more crazy than the others. So many things are happening in this world. Difficult to understand, difficult to accept, but we move on. I'm going to start this week with a story that's a bit different than what I normally get into. It has been bothering me over the years that, you know, a marriage was a man and a woman. Then we had years of battle on whether gay people could marry. And then all of a sudden, the courts and the law moved rapidly to say that gay marriages were acceptable. And then came transgenders. Who the hell had ever really heard about or understood transgenders until the gay marriage situation seemed to be out of the way? And now we have to deal with that because there's apparently a problem with regard to transgenders, and they have a right to live as they would like to live. Well, they're saying, where are we going next? Where do we go from transgenders? It has been said, bestiality is the next step. I don't know. I'm going to bring to your attention, and I'm smiling and laughing as I start this at this point, another area of the law which is opening up. And here's what it's all about. There is presently before a New York State Supreme Court judge the issue as to whether chimpanzees are legal persons. That's correct, whether chimpanzees are legal persons. The case is being heard in New York State Supreme Court in Manhattan before Judge Barbara Yaffe, who just a day ago, issued a writ of habeas corpus. Now, a writ of habeas corpus requires a person to be released from unlawful imprisonment. Requires a person to be released, person being the operative word. So the whole issue is going to be whether a chimpanzee is a legal person. An animal rights group has brought the case on behalf of two chimpanzees. Their names are Hercules and Leo, and you'll be hearing more about them in the coming weeks, Hercules and Leo, who presently are in captivity at the State University of New York, who use Hercules and Leo for research. The animal rights groups believe this is a form of abuse. They believe, and this is the key part of their argument, that chimps are intelligent. They can think, and they can act autonomously. They do not need any help. And if they are autonomous, if they are intelligent, then they qualify as people under the law. They are persons, and they should be released from the captivity they are experiencing at one of the state universities of New York. If they are so released, they will be sent to a sanctuary in Florida to live out their life. I don't know. I think we're sort of reaching the absurd now because we want to make animals people, in effect. But look, don't laugh, really. Think about it. The Supreme Court of the United States said a corporation is a person. Can you imagine them saying a chimpanzee is a person? Could be. I don't know. But I think we're all screwed up. That's what I'm saying. We're going to stay with animals for a moment because I'm beginning to think maybe some animals are smarter than man. The Phoenix Zoo recently sold a two-year-old bear, male bear, to another zoo, a two-year-old male bear. The other zoo was buying the bear because they wanted the male bear to mate with some female bears and make baby bears. The only trouble was when the other zoo got the bear, the purported male bear, it wasn't a male. It was a female. Now, I don't know how one zoo can make that kind of a mistake, that a girl bear is a boy and vice versa. It doesn't make sense to me, but probably the bears know better off who they are and what they are than we humans. The other zoo is going to keep the female bear because they really don't care. Whether male or female, that bear can be used for breeding purposes. My column in this week's newspaper, in Conk Life, which publishes tomorrow, is the drought and water profiteering, really water profiteering from the drought. The article will also appear tomorrow on my Key West Lou Facebook page. I spoke last week about the California drought and Governor Brown, California's Governor Brown, came out with a mandate or some kind of administrative decision whereby residential properties will now be required to cut back 25% of their water use. Well, as it turns out, the residential use of water is a drop in the bucket, if I may phrase it that way, because the biggest use of water is for agricultural purposes, and these agricultural lands, these farmlands, are not owned by Ma and Pa. They are owned by the mega agricultural operations, and they use a lot of water. And the other thing is, most of what they grow does not stay in California. It's exported, and it's not necessarily exported to other states in the United States. It is exported to China generally. So let's start this way. Seven years ago, in 2008, Andrew Liveris, Andrew then was CEO of Dow Chemical, big, big company, CEO of Dow Chemical. He said, and I quote, "Water is the oil of the 21st century. Water is the oil of the 21st century." Sounds like megabucks, doesn't it? And a speaker at the time in 2008 for Goldman Sachs, and they're one of the banks, by the way, who gave us the 2008 recession, said that water is the petroleum of the next century. Water is the petroleum of the next century. So let's take a look at what they're growing in California that's so bad and is really devastating their water situation and their economy. They need water for alfalfa. Now, alfalfa is nothing more than hay. It's very water intense, though. To grow alfalfa, you need a lot of water. And none of the alfalfa is sold in California or in the United States. It's all sold to China. We sell all the alfalfa to China. So here is lots of water. I don't know how many the gallons are that go to growing in alfalfa, but we ship it all out to China. California is the largest producer of alfalfa in the world, which now brings me to almonds. California grows more almonds than any other place in the world, and almonds happen to be water intense also. They need tons of water, gallons again, if you'll excuse me, water to grow. 10% of the water used in California, 10% of the water used in California goes to the growing of almonds. It takes 1 gallon of water to grow 1 almond. Then we come to lettuce. California is the largest producer of lettuce, grower of lettuce in the United States. Amazing. I didn't know all these things. I don't know if you did. And where the lettuce is grown is on what was formerly desert land. Now, you know, if you're going to grow anything on desert land, you must irrigate that land. You must bring the water in from someplace else with the pipes and everything. And it takes an unusual amount, a greater amount of water, to grow something that could have been grown somewhere else with much less water. But we grow lettuce in California, and that lettuce is sold worldwide. Okay? Again, the water, the results of the water are not staying in California. It's going outside the state of Florida. Now we come to Nestle's. Nestle's bottled water. I see it on the shelves here at Publix and Winn-Dixie in Key West. You see it on the shelves of your supermarkets. Nestle's bottles water and ships it all over the world. Nestle's is the biggest supplier of bottled water in the world. Their primary source of water is California. They have a huge bottling plant there. They get the water from a lake, a reservoir, and some aquifers. And for years, well over 30 years, they have been filling their bottles with water and selling them outside the state and worldwide. Now, there's a problem with this. Number one, because Nestle's is buying so much water from wherever they get it from, a local municipality, from the city of Sacramento, who's one of their big suppliers, what do? They get it at a cheaper rate. They get a discount because they're buying a lot. And then they sell it for big dollars. What we pay in the supermarket for a bottle of water, a small bottle of water, is a hell of a lot more than Nestle's is paying to buy the water, bottle it, and ship it out. Big profit item. Well, Nestle's, no one knows how much water Nestle's is selling because they never obtain a permit. The law in California requires that anyone bottling water must have a permit, a license from the state to do it. Nestle's hasn't had one for 27 years. The other thing is Nestle's refuses to tell the state of California how much water they're taking out of the ground and how much water by gallons they are bottling every year. They keep everything secret. The state has to go after all these things, the lettuce, the alfalfa, the almonds, and Nestle's, which brings us now to beer. Did you know, I didn't know before I got involved in this thing, that 92% of beer is water? Well, Budweiser has a major plant in California, and so do several other breweries, but Budweiser's is the biggest. And 92% of every bottle of beer contains water, which they get from the aquifers, the lakes, and reservoirs in California. And also, they have to clean the tanks. They make beer in tanks. We know that. Well, it takes more water to clean a tank than it does to fill a proportionate number of bottles. The cleaning of the tanks is more expensive than the bottling of the water. So there's an industry that's in trouble. I must say Budweiser's been cooperative. They are now, in 1 year, they've started recycling the water they used to clean the tanks. Also, they got rid of all their grass, shrubbery, and everything else, and they put something in that doesn't use much water to grow and make their lands look good. Sushi rice. 25% of the rice you and I eat in sushi comes from California. In the United States, 25% of the rice used in sushi comes from California. How about skiing? They got Lake Tahoe out there, and they've got some other great skiing resorts. Well, the skiing resorts didn't do good the last 3 years. Each year they did consistently worse. Turns out, you know, if you haven't got enough snow, then you've got snow and mud, and people can't ski on snow and mud. And it doesn't look like the situation's going to get any better in the near future. There is a major reservoir in California called the Folsom Lake Reservoir. The Folsom Lake Reservoir. In 2011, it was at 97% capacity. 97% capacity. Today, it is at 17% capacity. That's how much the water has dried up out there. And that means there's no waters for everyone that was taking water out of that place. Now, what happens when you take this water and use it so abundantly and so excessively as has been done in California? Well, number one, the land sinks. Yeah, we have sinkholes because much water comes from aquifers under the land. As we dig for oil, which is under the land, we dig for water, and we dig huge wells, and then we pipe the water up from out of the land, under the land. When we take the water out of the aquifer, that nothing fills it up. It doesn't come back. Once you use it up, I guess it's like oil, but there isn't as much water as there is oil worldwide. Once you use it up, there's a space in that aquifer there, and the aquifers are collapsing, which means the land is collapsing. Whole towns have gone into this sinkhole that I'm describing. The aquifers are dropping. Let's take the town of Stratford. The town of Stratford, small town. It's built on an aquifer. The aquifer in 3 years has dropped 80 feet. 80 feet. Now, you understand why the town sinks? Okay, the town's gone. There's no more Main Street. Any buildings that are left in the town are boarded up. No one's making any money. People have to leave. There was one merchant who thought things would change, and he was good to his neighbors. They didn't have cash. They didn't have dollars to pay for anything. He took IOUs for a while. It didn't work. Then there's Clovis. Clovis, California. Clovis had a hell of a lot of water. It's the only way to describe it. And when this water situation over the last 5 years got so bad in California, entrepreneurs came along, and I can't blame these people. They thought there'd be an easy buck, a quick buck to make in Clovis because Clovis had all this water. So they bought 2,000 to 5,000-gallon tank trucks. They would fill them up with water. They would drive to Clovis, and they didn't have to buy the water from Clovis. All the Clovis Water Department charged these people was $5 to fill the tank with from 2,000 to 5,000 gallons of water, free. And then they would drive out of Clovis with that water and sell it elsewhere for anywhere from $200 a tank to $500 a tank. Big profit, okay? Then you've got Tulare County. Tulare County, they have no water at all anymore. The people that are left there use portable showers and sinks provided by an emergency special social services operation. There used to be 7,000 people and 800 homes. That is what has been affected in Tulare County and the people there. Now we come to Palm Springs. Beautiful. The home of the rich. No problem. Accepted. Only one problem. Palm Springs has 122 golf courses. I'm smiling again. You need water. I played golf for years. You've got to water the lawn every day, the fairways. You've got to water the greens a couple of times a day. They can't keep using all that water. They're still using all that water in Palm Springs, by the way. No steps have been taken yet to control what I'm talking about. The homes of people there have magnificent lawns and magnificent shrubberies. They are watered all every day. They have their own little pipe systems under the ground to do it. So we got problems in Palm Springs. Every home has a swimming pool, they say, in Palm Springs. I know from my average-sized pool here in Key West that I have to replace 3 inches of water every week because nature takes 3 inches of water away from my pool every week. It absorbs it into the air. And so they have a problem there that soon will have to be dealt with, and who knows how the people there are going to take to it. They're the rich. It's a bad situation. That's all I'm trying to say. And I'm trying to show you how some people benefit and how some people are really getting hurt. You know, it's easy to say they don't have enough water in California. The residents got to cut back on watering their lawn, how many showers they take, how many times they flush the toilet. We went through this in Key West 15 years ago for, a year and a half. Yeah, we could only wash our cars from 5 to 8 in the morning. You could only water your lawns 2 days a week from 5 to 8 in the morning. They had all kinds of rules. And if you cheated, they knew because of the amount of water you used, and they charged you fantastic prices for your overuse of the water when you got your bill. Okay, now, who's benefiting from all this? Who's really making the money? And this is going to blow your mind. Number one, the banks. The banks. The big banks. I'm talking about Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, HSBC. These are the banks that gave us the 2008 recession, okay, with regard to the mortgage situation. They are buying water lands and have been buying water rights, water lands, reservoirs, aquifers since 2008. Think of those two quotes I gave you earlier. Since 2008, they've been buying it up because they know they're going to make a ton of money off that. To the detriment of who? To the detriment of the people. We know banks don't care about you and me. They've proven it since 2008. Do you think they're going to care any more about us because we don't have enough water in due course? Now, what they're also doing, the banks, and major corporations use this cry. They say, let's privatize this. Let's privatize that. Because by privatizing, things become cheaper. No longer, for example, will a city have to run a utility for the operation sale of the water. They don't have to have those employees. They don't have to have the buildings. They don't have to maintain any of the piping. They don't have to do anything. They're going to sell the business to a corporation that's going to run it. They're going to get a profit up front, and they won't have to spend any more money down the road. Can you imagine if when, it's not if, it's when Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citicorp, HSBC, have privatized a lot of banks. Do you think those banks are going to give us cheap water, are going to give us water at a reasonable price? Absolutely not. And then there are individuals who are rich who are buying up water rights. We all know T. Boone Pickens, the big oil man. I love watching this guy when he gets on TV. He's humorous. He's ordinary. He's the guy you want to have a beer with. But he knows what the hell he's doing or he wouldn't be so rich. He is the biggest owner. He is the biggest holder of water rights in the United States. All right, so we got a problem with water. I've tried to address it to some degree as regards California, and let's see what happens. I want to stay with the banks for a moment because you know how I feel about banks. I think banks are whores. Banks are pigs. All they do is care about themselves, and if there was any question, it was proven with the 2008 recession, which it was their fault. We had the recession. We bailed them out with taxpayers' dollars. They were supposed to loan that money to homeowners, to Main Street. They did diddly-dip. They did not do that. They borrowed the money back and forth amongst themselves, made private investments, made a ton of money. Some bank CEOs to this day are earning in excess of $100 million a year. One person in excess of $100 million a year. So why would they care about us? Which brings me to something that just happened this past week. I'm talking again about J.P. Morgan Chase. We know one of the biggies that gave us the 2008 recession. J.P. Morgan Chase sent a letter out to its box holders, the safety deposit box. Some people have those boxes. They keep the family jewels in there. They keep papers in there. And a lot of people store cash in there, okay, for whatever reason. Well, they sent a letter to their shareholders saying, not shareholders, to their box holders, that effective May 1, and I quote, as to the contents of the box, you agree not to store any cash or coins. You agree not to store any cash or coins. Why? Why don't they want cash in a safety deposit box? Can you think of any safer place for your money than in a safety deposit box in a bank safe in a bank? Excuse me. Well, here's why. For the past 2 years, there has been a movement worldwide by banks to eliminate cash, to eliminate folding money and coins. They want to get rid of cash completely. The banks want to control currency in whatever form it is. If cash is out there, people can see Creek cash. And they're afraid if push comes to shove, the American people and other people worldwide are going to start putting their cash maybe in a box in the closet, under the mattress, wherever. But they're going to hide it. And the banks don't want people to do that. They want all that cash sitting in their banks. So if they want to grab it for whatever reason, and the law permits it, and there are many reasons why the law permits the banks to grab your money and mine, they can do it. So they're calling. In the last 2 years, the banks are calling for the abolishment of cash. Last week, J.P. Morgan sent that letter out. A Citigroup economist, there's another bank. They were our friends, too, in 2008. They gave us the joy of that recession. A top economist for them said, the move for the abolishment of cash is a sound policy. So beware, it's coming. They want the money. The banks want the money to be in the form of something like a debit card. Money will be done electronically. Whether you spend a nickel or you spend $5 or $500, you'll use your debit card. If you've got that money in the records, in the computer, you can buy. If you don't, you can't. And if the bank, for some reason, feels they have a legitimate right, and there are many reasons under today's law that they can, to grab your money without your permission, all they got to do is press a couple of buttons on the computer. No big deal. And this is what they want to do because they want to track and control the flow of money electronically. Now, I think the banks are setting us up to screw us again. And I believe this. We have a Treasury Department, the United States Treasury Department. We have a Congress of the United States supposed to pass laws to help us and protect us. We've got representatives like Dodd and Frank, Senator Dodd and Representative Frank, who had the Dodd-Frank bill passed in 2010, which was going to protect the people of the United States from the whore bankers. What happened in 2008 would never happen again. Here it is. Here it is. The law was passed in 2010. It's 5 years later, 2015, and they have been eating away at it every year, throwing things out. So Dodd-Frank, in another 5 years, it'll be like we never had it passed. And why does all this happen? Because we know. I keep saying this. You know it, and I know it. Our Congress people, they're owned by the people with money. They're owned by the mega corporations. They're owned by the big banks. They get these contributions. They get these perks, the airplane rides on the big jets, the fancy jets, the free trips to the islands, and so forth. They're not representing us. I don't know if we can ever solve the problem I'm talking about here with regard to the banks. I fear. I don't know if we can solve the problem we have with the major corporations. I'll tell you one thing. I support Hillary for president. I believe she would make a fine president. It is her time. However, we as a people must decide what the issue is in the next campaign. Is the Middle East, the wars in the Middle East, are they more important than the banking problems in the United States? Is the economy here, more jobs, et cetera, more important than the war? And if it is, if the people think it is, then Elizabeth Warren should be president, not Hillary. I got to say it that way, because she's the one who understands money and takes no bullshit from any of these people. She's not indebted to them in any fashion. Okay, let me show you what Greece did. They did this today. Greece is broke. They can't make the payroll. I mean, it's that bad, we know it. They got the new government 2 months ago who aren't going to pay the Euro Union, but they still don't have any money. So what did the banks do today? The Greek government took the cash, any cash reserves owned by a municipality, county, town, village, and any bank account, and said, it's our money, we're taking it, and they had it transferred to a Greek central bank. In other words, if you had 16 billion euros this morning and you were Athens in the bank, you had zip tonight. When the bank closed, you had $0. Now, this is going to break the backs of these cities because, forget, they don't have any money. How can they pay their employees' salaries? How can they pay their bills? How can they pay their vendors? I don't know if what they did is right or wrong. All I know is they raised in one day, the government of Greece, $2.1 billion American dollars, okay, to cover their need for cash. Now, I don't know. I'll tell you what's going to happen. In the next several days, you are going to have major riots in the streets of Athens and the other major cities of Greece. It's going to be like it was, three or four years ago, my first trip to Greece. I was in two riots in front of the parliament in Athens. I saw what was going on. I was staying at the Grand Britannia across the street. I walked through those demonstrations. Nobody bothered me. I didn't understand the language, but I knew what the hell they were saying. They hated Greece. They hated Merkel. Whenever Merkel's name was mentioned, they spit on the ground, all of them. Whether they were young or old, they spit on the ground. Well, we're going to have riots again. I don't know what's going to happen, but we're going to have, Lewis says it's going to happen. We are going to have riots in Greece in the next week. All right. Very quickly, if you're going to take a European vacation, the time to do it is this summer, because Greece is going to leave the Euro Union. That's going to make Italy follow Spain and Portugal. The Euro Union is going to fall apart. The Euro is going to be worth much less than the American dollar. Right now, they're competing almost on an even level. And what's going to happen? You're going to have a cheap vacation, my friends. Take advantage of it. That's the show for this week. I hope you have enjoyed. As you know, the show is archived. You can listen to it immediately and forever after on Black Talk Radio. It's available immediately also on YouTube. And it's available on my Facebook page, Key West Lou. Excuse me. You also are aware I wrote a book. I tell you every week I wrote a book, The World Upside Down. If you haven't bought it, please consider, do buy it. Buy the book. You'll enjoy it. If you enjoy my show, you enjoy the book. If you do not enjoy my show, don't buy the book. You will not enjoy it. Thank you again for joining me this week. I look forward to being with you next week. Good night.